Let's go to Democrat of the day. Robert Timmerman is running for Senate seat 56 in the South Metro. He's kind enough today to talk about his campaign as well as some of the issues. Mr. Timmerman, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Matt, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Let's start off talking about a little bit of who exactly is Robert Timmerman.
Sure. I was born in Burnsville, actually, and grew up in Apple Valley. My wife and I decided to settle back to Burnsville in 2011. We have two boys, and they're both, well, one is in school in Burnsville, and the other will be next year. But basically, for my entire life, my entire career, I wanted to get into elected politics. I had worked for the Department of Revenue for 11 or 12 years in a variety of capacities. And then later in the legislative branch, I worked for the Legislative Auditor's Office. But I always wanted to be a part of shaping policy for the state. And so this year, with the political landscape, knowing that the state senate is only a few seats away from regaining DFL majority, I thought this was the best time of any to really jump in and give it a run.
So you work in with revenue here. I imagine that gives you some interesting insights to fiscal issues and that you can be bringing in into the state capitol, correct?
Right, and that's really what I would like to do. I mean, I have some priorities that are really interesting to me, and we can talk about those a bit, education, healthcare. But I am kind of a tax nerd. I don't think too many people run for elected office saying, gosh, I really want to be on the tax committee. And that is something that I'm interested in. And I think that when you look at all of the things that we do need to do, such as funding education at the state level or looking at a single-payer health care system, that all comes down to revenue, and we have to figure out a way to fund that.
What is your kind of philosophy on that? It's one of the things I can make an argument of is we've been and not just here in the state of Minnesota, but on the federal level as well. We have had a situation where there have been tax cuts, but the vast majority of tax cuts for the last 40 years have gone to the wealthiest people. Is it something where you might want to readdress the tax code, or is it possibly increasing taxes, or are we looking at basically cutting programs?
Well, I think that's a great question. I remember then Commissioner Myron Franz and Governor Dayton several years ago crossing the state with the three-legged stool and explaining the disparity between property tax and business tax and income tax. And I really want to bring that forward with me because I think that if we can balance out those three different tax sources – and consider also the local property taxes that are helping pay for our municipal services and our schools. I think we really do need to revamp the entire system. If we're going to be looking at bringing education funding to the state level, say, we have to be able to increase our state taxes, but the hope there would that it would be a net balance or a net wash by the reduction in property taxes that homeowners and businesses are paying. When you look at single-payer health care, I'm hoping that a lot of the savings can come from the absurd amount of administrative costs that we currently have by having 8 managed care organizations. So I'm hoping that there can be cost savings and that we can shift some of the tax burdens, but I certainly wouldn't want to cut programs in order to meet those goals.
When you talk about education and you brought up property taxes there, I mean, that's one of the things I have been talking about is that the problem I feel we have with education, and this is not so much the District 56, but overall for the betterness and the health of the state, which once again, if you're going to go to St. Paul, you're not only looking at your own district, but the state is as well.
Right.
But we look at the property tax and the way we fund them. In rural Minnesota, it's killing the rural communities. They're having a heck of a time. In the inner city as well. It's the same problem from a different angle, but it's the same problem. We base this on the property tax system. We demand referendums, but then we also cut these budgets with the open enrollment and charter schools. We have to have a new mentality towards, in my personal opinion, we have to have a new mentality towards funding education. Talk a little bit about that and how you feel as if we can address those funding issues.
Right. I absolutely agree with you. I mean, the rural Minnesota and our larger cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Bloomington, Richfield, Burnsville, in my district, we're all feeling that crunch. And so what I'd like to see is I would like to see the state funding come through sales taxes and a variety of our other taxes. I mean, we certainly could talk about some of the obviously, if we legalize recreational marijuana, there's going to be new tax revenue. But I think that if we can do this by balancing out the net tax from property taxes to the state level, whether that's sales tax or some other type of increased income tax, I would hope that your normal middle-class family and the folks in my district would be paying no more or no less right now. We have to get away, and you hit the nail on the head. We have to get away from a per-pupil mentality of funding, because in rural Minnesota, there are going to be fewer students at particular schools. That means they get fewer dollars then to pay for some of those capital improvements, some of the technology that they need. And we really need to get to a balanced system where every single student at every single school has the same opportunity to receive a top-notch education. And I think that's why we need to get this funding up at the state level.
Robert Timmerman joining us. He's running for the House, the Senate seat, District 56 in the South Metro. You brought about, I heard you mention this, are you for legalizing marijuana?
I am for legalizing marijuana. I think that with the revenue that could be gained from that and taxing that, we could ensure that it is screened and safe. An example that came across a couple months ago was a lot of the black market vaping products. And I think that when you legalize the product, then you certainly have your Department of Health or you have certain agencies that are ensuring that it is a quality product that isn't going to harm people. But then we can also use some of that revenue to educate people on drug abuse, on alcohol abuse. And I would really like to see some of that funding go into mental health care. And I would like to see some of that funding go into education.
Well, and I'd make an argument. Maybe you might want to check to see if it's safe for human consumption before you take it to market.
Well, call me wacky crazy, yeah. No, I think that's a great point. And I will tell you, with the medical marijuana and the medical cannabis that we have in Minnesota, they are thoroughly reviewing and testing every batch that is grown. And I would hope that if we go to the recreational level that we're doing the same thing.
Well, we can only hope they would test vaping products to the same level we test medical marijuana here, that's for sure. One issue I want to bring up as well, this is a bit of a sticky wicket, and that's the roads. Transportation, not just only in the Senate District 56, but statewide. We have a massive number of substandard bridges. We have, and we can talk about your district all day long, about the substandard level of roads. I mean, 13 needs an upgrade. I know they're working on 35W right now across the bridge as it heads on down towards the Burnsville split. We can make an argument 35E, County Road 42. There are numerous roads, not only in your district, but statewide, that need upgrading, along with the need for mass transportation. You just can't build roads out of a traffic and congestion issues. We're talking about needing to have, it's going to be quite a bit of money to be able to fix this problem. But every day we wait, it gets more and more expensive. Talk a little bit about that issue, because when you talked about, the way we were doing with finances, that's one of the things that gets left out of a lot of budgets is we need an immediate massive infusion into our roads right now.
Absolutely. Well, and thank you for bringing up the district roads in particular, because that really is something that I want to focus on as a legislator in District 56. County Road 42, it's hard to get from Savage to Rosemount without it taking almost an hour because of the stoplights and the congestion, especially during rush hour. I'm on the Planning Commission for the City of Burnsville and also on the Planning Commission for Dakota County, and so I see a lot of these projects coming. In fact, County Road 42 is going to be going under a full county review. We've brought in a contractor to take a look at how can we improve traffic flow and safety. The City of Burnsville, through MnDOT, is going to be looking at the Highway 13 stretch from Savage all the way to 35W. And to be honest with you, one of the most dangerous intersections in my district is at Nicollet and Highway 13. And we have to figure out a way not only to make sure that we are investing in the infrastructure, but also in the safety. I mean, there's a bus stop on the, or a bus station on the north side of 13, but all of the city amenities are on the south side of 13. And so it creates a real safety hazard for anybody trying to cross 13 on foot. This is a really good area where we can, again, come up with a new solution. We have to get away from a gas tax, because our cars, I mean, I pray that within 20, 30 years, they're all electric. I pray that we're not using fossil fuels for our cars. But we're going to need to come up with a new way to fund our roads and bridges. And what I would suggest would be looking at some type of mileage tax, which becomes, in a sense, a user fee for using our highways and roads.
Robert Timmerman, once again, Senate District 56 here. I will ask this. Obviously, there's going to be an endorsement for the district here. Will you abide by the DFL endorsement?
Yes, I will. There will be an endorsement battle, and I do want to just say that the other folks that are running in this district for the DFL endorsement are great. I wholeheartedly wish them the best. I'm hoping that my experience and my hard work in this endorsement process, trying to get folks out to the caucus, get delegates at the convention, I'm really hoping that my message and experience will resonate with them. They'll see that I have the experience at the state level, in the legislative branch, the executive branch, but also at the district level within the city and the county. We have a really unique district. We have three cities with Savage, Lakeville, and Burnsville. We have three school districts. We span across Dakota and Scott counties, and it's a really oddly shaped district, as you can imagine, with the gerrymandering they did in 2010. We'll probably see that again after this next census, but it's just a great area to be in. I love the district, and I'm hoping that that passion really comes forward and that the voters choose to have me be the one to go up against Dan Hall, because like I said at the beginning, this is a very flippable, winnable seat, and frankly, I think I'm the best candidate, the most experienced candidate to beat Dan Hall and to help win back the Senate for the DFL.
It is a seat we definitely need to get back into the DFL caucus here. I'm going to invite anyone, if you'd like more information about Robert Timmerman, by all means, Timmerman4MN, that's T-I-M-M-E-R-M-A-N, 4-F-O-R-M-N.com. I'll link to this on social media a little bit later on. If you'd like to find out more information about Robert and the Senate District 56 and find out his policies, you can by all means click on that and you get all the information you need. Robert, thank you very much. I appreciate the time. All my best in the race down there at Senate District 56.
Thanks so much, Matt. Thank you.
You bet. Robert Timmerman, Democrat of the day for today.